All right. Father, thank you so much for your presence. And Lord, we're just looking forward to hearing what you have to say. We open up our hearts and we open up our eyes. We ask that you do the same for us, God. And Lord, speak. Every time we open the Word of God, it speaks. It's alive and it's a sharp two-edged sword, and it cuts between sword and spirit, and it shows us who we really are. And Lord, we want to know how much like you we are and how much more like you we can become. So, Father, here we go. We're ready. Thank you for speaking. Thank you for being faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so we're still on the series about His voice is my choice. We said it rhymes, so it must be God. And this idea is that, you know, God is speaking. Whether or not you hear Him is your choice. Hey, long time no see. How you doing? So if the Holy Spirit is speaking, but we are resisting, then we're wasting that voice in our life, right? We're maybe processing it even improperly. What do you mean by that, Daryl? How does somebody mix up what they heard? Well, you guys saw that there was this trial about a certain former president who was being charged with saying something that was hateful and right. Okay, and I don't necessarily want to go into whether he was right or wrong. Okay, I have my opinions, but like everyone else's, that stinks. What I really want to get to is that we have a person's voice on video, recorded, being played over and over and over in a trial, and you know, some percentage of the room is saying, "See, I told you he said that," and the other's like, "I'm listening to it, I don't hear it." Same words, recorded, no mistake, word for word what the person said, right? It was how it was heard, and then throw into that all of the other, you know, agendas and hurts and anger and whatever else, and now people are using it, right? The point is God is speaking, and just and He's a voice that's in here. He's not even like on loudspeaker like that situation, right? And I don't want to taint anything the Holy Spirit has to say to me. How about you? Because we have an agenda, because we have certain expectations, because we have bad attitude, because we have sin stuck in the way between us, right? Filtering what He's trying to say to us, right? Best case, we're ignoring Him. Worst case, we're like, "I don't hear you. He never speaks to me." Right? Listen to yourself say that, and you realize that's a bad attitude just right there, right? Right? We are not dejected slaves who deserve better, but unfortunately, God just doesn't recognize it. Right? And so if we come at Him with that expectation, of course we're going to miss the, "Hey, I love you. I couldn't hear that. I was too busy kicking myself and feeling dejected," right? You know what I mean? Okay, so you get where I'm going, right? It's time, you know, we studied Hebrews 12 and we talked about it's time to strip aside, lay aside every weight that ensnares us. Well, some of us, the weight today to strip off is your filters based on your past, based on your expectation, based on your hopes and agendas, your control issues, whatever else. It's time to strip the filters away. Lay aside every weight that ensnares you and run, right? Run. What are we talking about? Run. Well, I just want to paint some pictures. I think they're beautiful, and they're buried somewhere in my notes, and so they're worth using. Let us run. What do we talk about? That word run, we see it in several places, and I'm just going to read them and just listen and just see if either one of those grab your heart. But Matthew 27, a man runs to serve Jesus as Jesus was suffering. He runs to bring Him the wine that was on the, actually I don't have a scripture for these guys, but thank you. Everybody's head's like, whoop. But I don't have these on scripture. Matthew 27:48, Jesus is on the cross and a man runs to deliver wine mixed with vinegar for Him to drink. It was all they had or whatever. It was right there. It fulfilled some prophetic things. And the man ran to serve Jesus, right? Yeah. How about this? In Matthew 28:8, with joy, the disciples run to tell the other people about the resurrection. They weren't just walking and saying, "Oh, this is awesome." They were running, right? Jesus is here. He's powerful. He's alive. Let's run. Luke 24:12, Peter runs to find Jesus after the resurrection. They were desperate to be with Him one more time. You know what I mean? They weren't running to solve some mystery. They were running because they wanted to be with him one more time. If it's even possible that it's true, I just want to feel him one more time, right? How about this? In Mark 5, 6, a demon-possessed man, you might know his name as Legion, right? He ran from afar off and fell down to worship Jesus and ask to be healed. We like to think of that guy as, oh, he was a scary dude and he was full of demons and all that. But you know what? Strip all that stuff around of his brokenness away, and his heart was a man who ran to fall down before Jesus and say, I have a problem and you're the one who can fix it, right? Luke 15:20, a father runs to embrace his returning son, his repenting prodigal son. He wasn't, I'm waiting, dude, right? 1 Corinthians 9:26. You know, can I just say, the father could see the son's repentance from far off, right? I mean, you just know brokenness when you see it. And the father was not going to make him grovel. When he recognized repentance, he ran, right? Okay. 1 Corinthians 9:26. We run to win a prize, a reward for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, right? We're not walking. This is not a kind of race where we're running to get the participation award. Right? Darn those participation awards. All right, let me turn off the mic so I can, or would you mind? Thank you. Thank you. We're back. So, we talked about how the voice of Jesus last week transforms us, and we covered that very lightly, and then we talked about how to respond to that. This week, I really want to dive a little bit deeper into how the voice of the Lord transforms us, okay? That way you're not just taking my word for it. And we talked about, and I just think it's worth going over one more time, that deliberate laziness, indifference, busyness, weights, sins, doubt, those things stop us from experiencing the transformation process that Jesus wants to bring us into. And that, therefore, those things are actually opposing the kingdom of God. They are in spirit, they're anti-Christ, because he's a God who wants to bring transformation and change. And if we're too busy, too lazy, too this, too that, right? We're opposing and resisting the one who wants to do a work in us. Okay, so as you're taking notes, if you're taking notes, write down the top three things that you're standing in the way between you and Christ, and it's time to surrender that, repent of that, give that thing over to him, and start fresh. Get into the quiet place. Get into the secret place with him, okay? That's the only place you're going to find transformation. Right? All right, Hebrews 3, 13 to 15, we do have a slide for that. And you must warn each other every day while it's still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. And I remember I deputized everybody here in the room to be part of this group who says, warn each other, don't let any one of us fall through the cracks and miss out on the today experience with Jesus, right? There's a today experience. Look at verse number 15. Remember what it says, that today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled. That's from Psalms 95. Okay, and the author of Hebrews is just repeating it, but we have a God who wants to speak to us today, okay? And some of us are like, well, I've heard his voice maybe three times in my life, and I can tell you about those three times. Well, he's a today God. And that's the whole purpose of this wasting your time listening to this sermon and this series. We're done with the three times in a lifetime speaking to Jesus. Today, if you hear his voice, don't resist it. Today. He wants a today relationship. He doesn't want this, you know, yeah, I've met my bride three times. I plan on marrying her. Right? Daily, he wants to speak to us, okay? Okay. Amen. And this, you must warn each other. It's because, you know what? Jesus is so serious about open communication. Jesus is so serious about open communication with us that he wants us to warn each other. Don't miss out. Hey, I've noticed you've been really busy lately, right? And it's time to stop doing that, because you've got to make time to communicate with him, and he has to speak into your life, because, you know, it's like not taking a shower. You're starting to stink.
Yes, yeah. One of the things I've noticed is go on about my day and not wait and listen to his response.
Right.
And listen to his voice.
Yes. Both are important, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Amen. So in case you guys, or maybe those in internet land didn't hear, Nikki said she'll spend her time with Christ, she'll let him know all the things she needs, but then sometimes not wait to hear if his reply and just not give him the chance. So, yeah. Let me just say, husbands love it when our wives do that to us, right? Wives, do you love it when your husband gives you the list of needs and then walks out? No? Okay, good. So if we've got an earthly depiction, now we have a spiritual depiction to compare it to, right? Okay, so let's talk about how Jesus transforms this situation. We're going to be speaking about this woman. She was caught in adultery, and the priests and the Pharisaical leaders caught her in the act and brought her before Jesus, right? Just dragged her literally out of the moment of her big date night and ripped her out of the street. No dignity, no respect, right? We're not even sure if she was fully clothed. We don't even know. They dragged her out, right? And they bring her before Jesus just out of shame. But you know what? What's even worse is it wasn't even about the woman. They were bringing her before Jesus so that they could find him, that they could trap him into saying something in this emotionally charged moment that they could then attack him, arrest him, and eventually kill him. So it wasn't even about this poor woman, right? She was just being used and abused by other people and shamed, okay? Now, as we talk about adultery, if that's in your past, guys, leave it in the past. This is not a condemning, let's talk down on people who have been in adulterous affairs. Just repent, walk away, don't do it again, right? Yes? Okay, but I can use that phrase without triggering, I hope, okay? All right, so we're going to be in John 8, verses 1 through 5. This is where we're starting. Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives, but he was back soon in the temple again. Swarms of people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. The religious scholars, now picture this, there's a whole crowd watching because they're being taught, right? Can you imagine this? Like we're here having church, and then some leaders just drag some lady right in the middle of the service just to, I mean, how rude is that? Yuck. Thank God they're not leaders in our church. All right. The religion scholars and Pharisees led the woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They stood her in plain sight of everyone and said, "Teacher, this woman was caught red-handed in the act of adultery. Moses, in the law, gives orders to stone such persons, and what do you say?" So it was the trap. Right? All right. Here we go, John 8, 6 through 8, continuing on. They were trying to trap into saying something incriminating so they could bring charges against him. Jesus, let's see, are we still on this track here? Okay, cool. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger in the dirt. I love it. They kept at him, badgering him. Oh, the Lord loves badgering. Do you? Okay, good. He doesn't love badgering. He straightened up and said, "All right, stone her. But let those who have never sinned throw the first stones." Bending down again, he wrote some more in the dirt. Hearing that, they walked away one after another, bringing their oldest, beginning with their oldest. The woman was left alone. So this is just so cool, the way Jesus did this. So these folks, they had an agenda. They were unfair. They were in accusing and exposing someone. What made it unfair was the fact that they didn't drag the other partner out into the midst, right? That's not fair.
She wasn't doing it alone.
She wasn't. It takes two to tango. And they only brought in one partner, right? One dance partner. And if you really wanted to get into the law of Moses, the idea was you had to stone both of them. Oh, that's horrible, right? That's horrible. But here's the fact that when the Lord created this law, he was envisioning a society that was so fiercely in love with him that sinful acts like that leading to death would never happen in that society, right? He wasn't like, "Hey, let's get barbaric, everyone. Sounds like fun." Right? There'll be hot dogs after the stoning. Right? No, he wasn't like that. He wasn't looking forward to death. He was just trying to represent that sin leads to death, right? All right, so Jesus, he actually fires right off. All right, stone her. Now think about this. He had to be consistent with his own word. Remember when I said to you, if you're asking God to speak to you and he speaks to you and what he says t- to your heart counteracts what you read in Scripture, you know what you heard was not God, right? If Jesus was to backpedal all of a sudden in that moment and say, you know, it does say kill, right? It does say stone, but, you know, God, if you looked at the ancient Hebrew, that means, you know, cut her some slack, you know. You get what I'm saying? Like, if he tried to bend it, and we, and the, some of us milquetoasty people are really good at trying to back away from the harshness of things, right, of the truth. And Jesus, I mean, he just remains so consistent to say, you know, the word says stoner, so stoner, right? He was consistent. And that's just another check. Just get this, like, in your heart. If you can find Scripture to disprove what you believe Jesus spoke to you, then believe the Scripture. Right? Okay. Why is that important? Because you can be deceived and go down a path that you really wish you didn't waste time doing. Right? I told you about the time I heard about this dude that was in a certain group of church friends, you know, believed that the Lord told him to leave his wife to marry another one. And I said, no, I could find a Scripture to prove why that's not God. And in that moment, he had to listen to his heart or listen to the Scriptures, but he had to make a choice, right? And that's a really, really crazy, way outlandish example, but we'll find ourselves in these moments where our heart wants to lead us away, right? What's a much more down-to-earth one? In relationship, our partner might say something that kind of cuts us. Maybe they didn't even mean it, but we reacted to it. And our desire is to withdraw and disappear and lick our wounds or maybe fire back, right? And the Lord is telling us to face that thing and speak love and truth and press through that moment, that brokenness, right? And reignite the passion and the love in that, even in that, right? Right? But our heart wants to pull away, and don't follow the heart. Follow the Scripture, right? And if the voice of God tells you, leave her and run. Mm-mm. Yay. All right. This is what's really cool. He writes in the dirt, and there's so many sermons out there. What was he doing? And I'm not even going to repeat any of them. Go look them up. They're on Google, you know. He was buying himself time. He was writing down the sins of all the Pharisees so that they could see it in the dirt, and they were embarrassed. That's what made him run. I mean, all this cool stuff, but all of it's fiction. We don't really know, right? But what I think I do know is that it was the finger of God who wrote that law, right? It was the finger of God came down right in front of Moses and began writing in tablets, thou shalt not. The very law that these Pharisees are throwing in Jesus' face, right? And he bends down and the finger of God is now, I mean, I just know what he's like, the very finger of God who writes this thing is confident and just like, you know, I know this. I don't have to react to these voices. I am not overcome by the craziness of the moment. I don't have to let somebody else's heated conversation drive me into equal heated conversation and an exchange. I don't have to react to these people. I don't have to lose my temper to these people. I am not moved by what they are doing because I know who I am. And I was there at the beginning writing that law, and I am here in this moment going to show folks how to properly use that law, right? Amen. And so the voice of God, the voice of Jesus, it just shows me how immovable and consistent he is. And we are freaking out. Ah, how could you do this to me, right? He's not freaking out saying, hey, listen, son. Hey, do you remember, right? He doesn't get defensive. He's not broken like we are. He's without issue. And so the voice of God is so clear and loving all the time. Breaking through our passionate explosions all over the place in our messes. And he's like, nope, I already told you I loved you and I have a purpose and a plan for you. And, you know, scream all you want, but you will fulfill that purpose and that destiny because I love you and I paid full price for you. Right? Scream all you want. I'm still here. Yeah. So he didn't move. He wasn't panicked or raged like we get. And it just reminds me of all the filters we have to strip away. You know, when we come to the Lord with these anxieties and these fears and these things, and he did say, come to me and bring me your cares and I will give you rest. So it's okay. I'm not telling you it's not okay to bring this stuff to him. He wants that. But at the same time, there's an attitude that goes behind the care that takes the care and jams it into his lap instead of giving it to him. Right? And it's time for us to strip away every weight, every snare, and that includes bad attitudes that are filtering the voice of God. And we're not hearing what he's saying because we're too busy already outthinking what we think he's going to say. So when he says it, we only confirmed what we already thought he was going to say, and we're just going in circles. Right? And it's so frustrating.
I don't know why he never speaks to me.
And the problem's between your two ears, right? He's trustworthy. He's consistent. He could have lost it. He could have been hurtful. He could have been indignant. He could have backed away from the force of the law to establish it in a better context. He could have, you know what I mean? He could have just done the whole political thing, reframed what he really said to mean something. And he didn't. I mean, he just spoke it straight from the heart. And he turned murderers away from their course in that instant. Think about that. He talked murderers down. So if you think you're screwed up, there's hope, right? If he can talk a mob down with just a couple simple words, I mean, the voice of the Lord, it shatters the mountains, right? The voice of the Lord. Have you seen those scriptures in Psalms? Yeah. We are those mountains, right? Boom, our bad attitudes, our brokenness, our sin. He is not limited to us. He just wants to see us surrender, right? Don't resist the Holy Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit is moving. He's in you. He's moving. Just don't resist. That doesn't mean drum him up. He's already in motion. Catch the wave. Right? Right. Man, I think, you know, this is my side note, and who knows if it has any significance, but I believe that when that other person, the man, was not brought, the adulterous man in the relationship, was not brought before Jesus, I think those Pharisees really did that man a disservice. They had a political reason, but really that man didn't get to face what we're just about to see next, which is Jesus speaking life into a broken, twisted situation. Right? And so why did I say that? It's because sometimes when we have things in our life, we don't want to bring them out. We want to bury them and pretend like they're not really there because we're protecting them. And I know that some of us have gone through a fresh wave of not doing that. We've actually put some stuff out on the table and repented recently, and that's all great. Maybe some of you can testify, but the point is, like, We're sitting on these things we don't really want to speak about because we're so ashamed or so afraid that by admitting them that it means we're a lesser person. And this man who was hiding as this woman was brought out in all of her indignity, you know what? She got free that day and he didn't. She went home to sin no more. Who knows what he did? Right? All right. Are you hearing him regularly? Don't answer that, unless you want to. But are you hearing him regularly? Check for a Pharisee heart, okay? Just check for it. Do you have a political agenda? Do you have a purpose and a destiny? Do you have a desire, a preference for your life that you're trying to control, that you really want to see happen with or without him? Are you trying to squeeze God into your plan? Are you telling him, no, there's no way I'll let you do that in my life. There's no way you can touch that. You can have that. You can control that. If those are the things that the Pharisees would do. The Pharisee heart literally said, I have to go find someone that I can use to entrap Jesus because, frankly, he's stepping in my territory. I deserve it. He doesn't. Right? If there's any territory where you're saying to the Lord, this is my territory, I deserve it, you don't. You're done. You're done. You're not hearing his voice until you fix that, okay? And if you do hear his voice, it's going to be the wrong voice. You don't want to hear the one that tells you to back off, okay? We just, my gosh, it's time for repentance. There's a fresh wave of repentance coming to the Capital C Church. Fresh wave of repentance. And that repentance is not necessarily for just outright sin. It's just the sin of indifference and the sin of not caring about the voice of God, not valuing his voice in our life, and being too busy, too caught up, too stuck, or too stubborn to let him have his way. Amen. With that?
That's a good word.
Oh, well, thank you. I thought you had something to share. So these folks, they drop their stones, right? And the oldest goes first because, you know, his sin was longer. His list of sins over a lifetime were much longer. And he's much wiser. And he was like, oh, yeah, never mind. Right? And until everyone left, including the really young, zealous guy who really wanted to throw his first stone at somebody. He'd been really looking forward to it all day. Right? And there was no one left but Jesus and the woman. And in John 8, verse 10, Jesus stood up and spoke to her, "Woman, where are they? Does no one condemn you?" "No one, Master. Neither do I," Jesus said. "Go on your way. From now on, don't sin." Or you may know it as, "Go and sin no more." Jesus once again addressed them. That's the crowd who was there listening to him teaching. Okay? They just saw this whole thing go down, and their adrenaline's probably pumping, and right? And he said, "Hey, I'm the world's light. No one who follows me stumbles around in darkness. I provide plenty of light to live in." Yeah. So let's break this one down for a bit. So Jesus, first of all, he secured the woman's fact. I mean, her heart in the fact that he didn't judge or condemn her, right? And that was actually a dangerous position for him to take, because he stood up for her to an angry mob who had rocks. I mean, they'd already had their minds made up and were ready to carry out a sentence. And he stood in between, in a sense, right? He kind of risked not only his life, but his reputation. Everybody's watching to see what he's going to say. And he didn't condemn her in public, even though she sinned. I mean, like, do you understand the impact of who our God is? He reassured her heart that he's not done with her just because the rest of the world is. Right? He spoke right past the shame. Right past the shame. And spoke to her as a person. Yeah? Oh, thank you, God. Because when you go to him, when you run to him after realizing that there's been some sin or brokenness in your life, I mean, that's the time to run. That's not the time to run away, right? And when we run to him, we have to realize that if there's any filter that's telling you you're shameful and you have no right to be pressing into God right now, you should be at least waiting a day and wallowing in it, at least, right?
Nope.
No, you realize, you run to him. My son, Jack, you know, he does this little thing with me. I don't understand it, but he'll do something sneaky and wrong, and I'll call him out on, "What did you just do?" Right? And his brother's like, "I know he did something." All I can hear is, head, right? "What did you do?" And Jack says, "Well, if I tell you, will I not be in trouble? If I tell the truth?" Right? Huh?
And your answer.
My answer is, you're in trouble either way, so you might as well tell me the truth now, right? That was not the point. The point was, you know, there's this little thing in us. It's like, okay, I'll tell you the truth, God, but, you know, maybe my sentence will be less, right? And so we've already determined this boundary. God can't meet us where we're at, and if he does, then he's going to have to punish us. And we're right there in the middle of that sandwich. And he doesn't really have a whole lot of room to be God in that moment, because you've already determined he's got to squeeze through a hole this big. Right? Filters, man. Filters, arguably the worst thing standing in the way between us and God. And Jesus just secured her heart, tore her filters down in that moment. He stood up for her. He demonstrated. He spoke words that proved he loved her, that he was relentlessly pursuing her. I mean, he just told her, "Hey, I don't condemn you." The God of heaven and earth could look at a person caught in the act and say, "I don't condemn you." Right? Wow. He loves me. right? And then he packed right on top of that the next phrase, which is go on your way and don't sin, right? Stop sinning. Like, this is not an excuse. It's not a free pass, but I'm not holding this against you. Just stop. It's just that easy. Like, I'm winning your freedom. I'm giving that to you. I'm speaking that to you. And when you get rid of your sin and, you know, when you embrace the fact that I don't condemn you, there's this other piece right in the middle, which is go on your way. Go live. I'm the author of life. I'm the one who gives life and that much more abundantly. I want you to live. I want you to live out your life in freedom and success. And I want you to be, you know, walk with joy and dignity and go live. Right? He could have been like, go check yourself in. Go confess to your priest. Go bring at least 3 sacrifices. That's shameful what you did, right? You know what I mean? Now, next, I want you to go talk to your husband and confess everything to him first, right? I'm not saying those are not good things, but you get what I'm saying. He didn't throw a whole bunch of these, like, hurdles out there for her to just come back to the rightness with him, right? He just was like, go on your way, go live, go experience life, go walk out this thing that I created for you. I don't condemn you. Just stop sinning. Cool? Right? Just stop. I love that she didn't come back and be like, well, you don't understand. I need this man in my life. My husband, he's such a jerk. He doesn't see me for who I am. Right? What? Okay, I'm not answering. I have the right to remain silent. That's right. No, soap operas are off the air for a reason. Okay, so where was I? I got lost in all that goofiness. 12. His words transform us, right? And what I was saying was she didn't come back with the excuse, right? She recognized the love of God who stood up for her, who gave everything in that moment. He risked his life for her. And we have a Messiah who's done the same for us, right? He faced the cross for us. And so we recognize the same kind of intense love that he did for that woman, where he put himself in harm's way. And it was not for any other reason than love. There was no leverage that he used on her, and she didn't come back with a, but you don't understand. And so we, the church, need to get rid of any buts, but you don't understand, God, but I need this, God, but I can't cope without this, God. This is how I relax. This is how I... You know, you can't take that from me. You can't. Well, yes, he can. Why would he do that? If he loved me, why would he take it? Well, Hebrews 12:2 talks about stripping away every weight that so easily ensnares, because he doesn't want us ensnared. He wants us free, right? And some would even say, I saw this awesome quote, that perfection in some invention or work of art isn't attained by adding more and more stuff until this thing becomes perfect. It's actually stripping away everything that's unnecessary until the most essential and beautiful thing stands on its own. Right? And that's what he's doing, man. He's stripping away all that stuff that's not of him, because only until all that stuff is away and the most essential thing, which is him, remains, we're kind of just gaudy. Who likes to be gaudy? No takers? Okay. Yeah. All right, we're running out of time. That's good. I'll just stretch my notes out longer. you guys, you make me laugh, you know? All right, preview, and then we're going to move on to our prayer time, but... Isaiah 55 says this, and I'm not going to camp here for long. I might preach on this next time, but it's kind of toward the end of the stack. Yeah, there we go. The rain and the snow come down from the heavens, and they stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. Did you catch that? It's like rain, which kind of works its way in through the whole nature process, and now you have seeds, which now you have bread, right? And it was all based on this whole science flow, right? I have to tell Jesse that he's not the only one that gets to talk about science in here. All right. It's the same with my word. I send it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish what I want it to, and it will prosper where I send it. You can't even say that verse without saying, at the end. Right? The same way rain will trigger an event that you cannot explain, which will then water the thing that was in the ground that you didn't even know was there, which then produces this plant, which you can't explain how it got there, which then produces fruit, which then you cook it and make bread or whatever, you know, fill in the blank. But all that stuff just happened because the Lord established his word in your life, and it will accomplish what he sent it to do. You don't have to be able to explain it. You don't have to have the system worked out. You don't have to know the science behind how rain suddenly made this. You don't have to understand all the bits and pieces, right? It's not your rain. It's not your ground. It's not your plant. It's not your fruit. It's all his, right? All you need to know that just lock your eyes on is the word will. It will prosper. It will accomplish what I sent it to do, right? And that word that was actually being spoken of, most of us will say, oh, that's my Bible. Well, it is your Bible because it's in the Bible. But at the time that it was being spoken, it was a prophetic call to the nation to return to the voice of the Lord once again. It was not a call to return to your Bibles. And I'm not trying to flatten any, the word is what it is, man. It stands alone. And like I said, if the voice of the Lord in your life disagrees with the word, then go with the word. So the word's important, but the call was return to my voice, people. Without it, you have no bread. You have no food. You have no fruit in your life. It's like having all this land and no rain. What good is it? You need something accomplished in your life. It's time to return to his voice and bring it back. No more going to Google first. Right? Google's made it far too easy to throw the five options up and then say, Lord, which one do you want? Now we're going to his voice first. Sit in the quiet. Maybe he wants you to be quiet for a minute. I don't like it when he's quiet. Well, maybe he does. We need to give him what he wants, right? And we need to sit in it. We need to just allow him to do the process. It's his reign. It's his, right? He needs to accomplish what he set it to do. And we're too busy trying to say, okay, finally, I heard your voice. Now I'm going to go make it happen. No. Right? We got to let him do it. He's got to soak us. It's got to soak through the soil. And a lot of times the soil rejects the rain when it's been parched for too long. Right? The soil cracks and it becomes ugly and all the rain just like, it doesn't soak in. It sort of just washes away and becomes this nasty, muddy thing, right? So sometimes, man, our hardened hearts just need to soak for a while. Just sit in his presence. We did that today. Can we just sit in his presence, I said, because nothing to say, just, yeah, he's God. He's accomplishing stuff, right? It's okay. And then in the quiet is when he'll speak and he'll confirm it with you over and over throughout your day. People will say it, the word will say it, things will say it. It'll all just keep this living adventure of his voice in your life. Will continue to confirm, you are hearing me. And that's where transformation happens. If you need transformation and you're trying to do it through the seven steps or through the do-it-yourself book, you're going to only be as successful as you are, and that's really not that awesome. Right? All right, I'm done. Could I do the thing that, you know, we haven't done it in a while. It makes some people uncomfortable, but I still feel like the Lord is here and wants to do this. You know, the word says that where two or three are gathered, I am there. And I would like to not pass the microphone to pray today. I'd actually like us to break up into groups, three, four, five people, and just pray out some things that are going on in our life. And ask the Lord to speak. And maybe the Lord's going to speak through someone else in the group. Or maybe he's going to just speak directly to you. Maybe he'll speak to you and confirm it through someone else. Maybe he won't say anything and you just started a chain reaction. What you just did was prayed for rain. Isaiah 55, rain. Right? But I really wanna press into the communication that Jesus wants to have with his church, his bride, his loved one, you. Some of the things, I'm gonna put them on the board so you can see them, but you're not required to pray them, is the last, transform my day, center me on the pursuit of your voice in my life, right? Be central in my busyness. Number two, make me ravenously hungry for more of you. Start a revival in me. We're praying for revival. We're waiting on you. Right? That's a joke. You can smile. Number three, I give you permission, Holy Spirit, to break into my habits, agenda, preference, and relationships. Nothing is sacred compared to having your fullness in my life. Right? If you growled a little bit, that's your topic to pray for. Yeah. So, Holy Spirit, I thank you for the body of Christ, that you've put each part together so that each part does its special work. And I thank you again that where two or three are gathered in your name, that you're there in the midst, that Jesus, as we pray together over this topic, you're here. And Lord, you'll encourage and you'll bless and you'll speak and you'll hear us, God. And Lord, I just pray for community and oneness and unity and love to arise as we seek you together, Father, as we take our brother and our sister, throw our arm around them, and we just go right to the throne of God together. Lord, speak to us. We want to hear your voice. We want to know your voice. Ultimately, we want to know your heart. We want to see you, and we want to be changed to be like you. Oh God, you're producing the fruit. We just thank you. You're the author and the finisher of that. So Lord, speak and begin that process and take us further than we've ever dreamed possible in the voice of God and the heart of God. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, keep your wisdom to yourself and let's pray and just let the Holy Spirit speak, right? Don't give your advice. Give his voice. All right, come on, let's get uncomfortable. Join a group and let's... ask, what are we praying for?